Dear listeners, a warm greeting to another reading from the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus of Nazareth. The teachings of the Sermon on the Mount contain the law of life. It is the love for God and neighbor, the high ethics for a peaceful coexistence among people and also with nature and the animals. The Sermon on the Mount serves the people of all cultures who want to orient their lives according to higher values as a guideline for their own way of thinking and acting. Anyone who sets out to follow the path of the Sermon on the Mount will find that his life changes because he first changes himself. In today's reading, we will learn how honest prayer, which is a prayer from the heart, brings us closer to God in us and bears fruit. We will first read from the Gospel of Jesus and then the explanations of the Christ of God himself, who explains and deepens the Sermon on the Mount in our time through the prophetess and emissary of God, Gabriele. We begin to read. Learn true prayer. In the Gospel of Jesus, we read, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites who like to pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by the people. Verily, I say to you, they already have their reward. But when you pray, go into your chamber, and when you have shut the door, pray to your heavenly Father who is hidden. And the hidden one, who sees into that which is hidden, will publicly acknowledge it." In the work of Revelation, "This is my word, Alpha and Omega, the Gospel of Jesus, the Christ revelation, which true Christians the world over have come to know," Christ explains about this. "When you pray, withdraw into a quiet chamber and immerse into your inner being. For the Spirit of the Father, whose temple you are, dwells in you. If you pray just to be seen, or so that your neighbor may think you are pious and devout, then I say to you that this is not devoutness, but false piety. It is hypocrisy. Such externalized prayers are without power. The one who prays just from his lips or in order to be seen sins against the Holy Spirit, for he misuses holy words for his own self-interest. Recognize, if you address God in prayer and do not fulfill in your life what you have prayed for, that is, if your prayers are only a display of your ego and do not come from the depth of your soul and are not inspired by the love for God, then you sin against the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest sin. When your prayers do not flow selflessly from your heart, it would be better not to pray and to first become aware of your thoughts and human wishes and to gradually give them over to me, so that the selfless love which is in you will also grow in you and you will be able to pray from the heart. Then your prayers will be inspired more and more and imbued by the love for God and for your neighbor. And the hidden one who sees into what is hidden will publicly acknowledge it," means that your thoughts of light and your powerful prayers, which are inspired by the love for God, will also bear fruit in this world. You will be allowed to recognize your seed of love, and many will also recognize you as a source of love.
The next section of the Sermon on the Mount has the title, Find the Truth Within You. Jesus of Nazareth taught, "And when you pray together, do not use empty repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard when they make many words. Therefore, you should not do the same as they, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask. The Christ of God explained about this through the prophetic word. Only the person who has actualized very little of the law of truth uses many words and empty, uninspired repetitions in prayer and in daily life. The one who speaks much about the law of truth and of life, thus using many words for it, cannot fill them with power and life because he himself is not filled with the law of God. Such words are egocentric and therefore without love, even if they are chosen as if they were carried by love. Uninspired speech does not reach the innermost recesses of your neighbor's soul, and thus finds no echo in the person who lets the love of God prevail in and through him. The one who speaks without inspiration about the law of truth and of life, which, however, he does not actualize, merely stimulates a person who hears this and likewise is still oriented to outer things to engage in arguing. Recognize, the one who argues about spiritual laws does not know the laws of God. Everyone who wants to argue is convinced that he knows better than his neighbor and wants to confirm this to himself. The one who argues only gives evidence of himself, namely, that he knows nothing and is unsure. This is why he argues. However, the one who has found the truth does not argue about the truth, not even about what belief is. The word belief also implies lack of knowledge. In the end, the person believes what he does not know or cannot prove. The one who believes in the truth has not yet found the eternal truth, nor does he move yet in the stream of the eternal truth. Therefore, belief is still blindness. However, the one who has found the eternal truth no longer has to believe in the truth. He knows the truth because he moves in the stream of truth. This is the true wise person who has raised the treasure, the truth in himself. The true wise ones rest in themselves. This is inner confidence and stability. They do not argue about belief because they have found their way from belief to wisdom, which is the truth. Therefore, the one who merely believes in God without knowing the depth of the eternal truth, the eternal law, uses many words about his belief. Even in prayer, he will behave in a similar way. He uses many words because he does not inspire his words with selfless love. He is of the opinion that with many words, he is able to convince God or even persuade him. He thinks he has to make himself understood to God because he assumes that God could understand his prayers in a different way than what he meant. The deeper the person immerses into the divine wisdom, the fewer words he also uses in prayer. His prayers are short yet powerful because the word radiates the power that is lived.
The next section of the Sermon on the Mount is entitled, Actualize Your Prayers. We read in the Gospel text. Therefore, when you are gathered together, you should pray in this manner. Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread day by day and the fruit of the living vine. And as you forgive us our sins, so may we also forgive the sins of others. Leave us not in temptation. Deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory in all eternity. Amen. Christ explains and deepens the word. The community prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is prayed with different words and contents because every community prays it according to the potential of love of the community. As Jesus of Nazareth, I taught the community prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in my mother tongue, that is, with other words, and thus with another content than as was prayed in later times and in other languages. The words as such are unessential. What is important is that the person actualize what he prays. Then every word that comes out of his mouth is vivified with love, power, and wisdom. You should not pray according to the letter, nor strive to pray word for word, the Lord's Prayer, which I taught my own. What is important is that you inspire the words of your prayers with a love for the eternal and for your neighbor, and that the content of your prayers corresponds to your life. People who are filled by the eternal truth, the love and wisdom of God, will in turn pray in another way than those who pray only because it was thus taught to them, or because they belong to a denomination where the prayers are spoken according to the consciousness of the denomination. People who are on the path to their divine origin pray freely, that is, with self-chosen words that are vivified with love and power. People who live in my spirit, who are imbued with the love and wisdom of God, who thus actualize the laws of God in their daily life, will, above all, thank God for their life and for everything. They will praise and glorify Him and devote their life more and more to Him in sensations, thoughts, words, and deeds, because they have become life of His life. People in the Spirit of the Lord live their prayer. This means that they fulfill the laws of the eternal more and more, and have themselves become the prayer, which is an adoration of God.
The Christ of God continued, "Therefore, the one who fulfills the will of God lives in the adoration of God more and more. Such people not only keep the laws of God, but have mostly become the law of love and wisdom. In the maturing kingdom of peace of Jesus Christ, in which I am the ruler and the life, the people will keep the law of God more and more. Many of them will have become the law, and thus God-men who personify the life, God, in all that they think, speak, and do. Their prayers are the life in me, the fulfillment of the eternal law. With their life, which is the law of God, they thank God for the life. And so, the gratefulness to God is the life in God. Their life, which is a single act of thankfulness, streams into the kingdom of peace. They pray according to the following words, which they fulfill in daily life. Our Father, your Spirit is in us, and we are in your Spirit. hallowed is your eternal name in us and through us. You are the Spirit of life. You are our primordial Father. We bear our eternal names from you. You, Eternal One, have given them to us and have placed in our names all the fullness of infinity. Our names, which you have breathed into us, are the love and wisdom, the fullness out of you, the law in us and through us. Our eternal kingdom is the infinity, the power and the glory in and from you. We are heirs to the eternal kingdom. Therefore, we are the kingdom itself, the eternal homeland. It is in us and is active through us. Your infinite glorious will is in us and is active through us. The power of your will is our strength of will. It is active in us and through us, for we are spirit of your spirit. Heaven is not space and time. Heaven and earth are one, because we are united in you. The love and power in us and through us is our daily bread. You, O eternal, glorious Father, have brought forth in us everything that vibrates in infinity. Through us, you create in heaven and on earth. We are in you, and you prevail in us and through us. We are filled in your spirit, for we are spirit of your spirit. We are rich in you, for we live our heritage, the infinity, out of you. Our eternal heritage, spirit of your spirit, brings forth that which we need as human beings in the kingdom of peace. We live in you and from you. Life streams and gives itself. We live in the fullness from God because we ourselves are the fullness. The earth is heaven, and the kingdom of peace is the wealth of the earth in which we live and are, spirit of your spirit. The people who have become the law of God continue to pray. We live in the inner kingdom and yet are human beings who personify externally that which radiates in the inner being. The name of the Lord is praised. He is the life in and through us. The name of God is the law of love and of freedom that is lived. Sin is transformed. The light is come. We live from his light and live in and from his spirit, for we are spirit of his spirit. In God, everything has been cleared. His name has made everything pure. The glory of God be praised. God's will, love and wisdom permeate the earth and the land. We ourselves are earth and land, will, love, and wisdom. In us is the goodness of God, the good from God. We are in God and act out of God. The earth is the Lord's. It is the kingdom of love. It is active in us and through us. The life, the glory of the Father, is active in us and through us, from eternity to eternity. In its essence, this glorification is the life of those who live in the kingdom of peace of Jesus Christ. They live in me, the Christ, and I live through them. And together, we live in the Father, Mother, God, and the Father lives through us from eternity to eternity. Thus far, the words of the Christ of God in his great work of revelation, "This is my word, Alpha and Omega."
Dear listeners, in today's reading, we heard what true prayer means and how people who are filled with God's love will pray and live. Everyone is free to decide if and when they want to begin to turn to the inner kingdom, the kingdom of peace. If we do so, we can be sure God is always there and helps us with every step toward him. For today, we would like to take our leave of you and wish you, all of us, all the best, many good experiences with the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus of Nazareth. Until next time, goodbye and greetings in God.